Well, it's a central curiosity about Aristotle that his name doesn't appear on this list. Why is this question, the question of being and its appearances, so relatively unaddressed in his writings? We can put it this way. Why is Plato's virtual obsession with image, as we see it in the Republic, not really matched in Aristotle's thought? One possible answer is that Plato's concern with the imaged and its image, that is, his concern with the notion of the world and its making an appearance, which we saw in the complex modalities of the divided line, you remember, in the central books of the Republic. That concern is translated into Aristotle into a concern with the latent and the manifest, that is, with the hidden and its exercise, with power and its corresponding actualized activity. The medium of such translation is the duality of inner and outer, and that's where the two of them join. Inner and outer have different modes of presentation, as it were, in Plato and Aristotle. Recall that in the Republic, this duality of inner and outer figures precisely the relation between a virtue and its expression. And it's that relationship, the relationship between a virtue and its expression or exercise, that comes to be understood by Aristotle in terms of his notions of capacity and its exercise, both in the theory of the soul and in the theory of virtue. So the differences here are less matters of opposition than they are matters of a shift in attention. There is, however, the fact that the theory of substance in Aristotle has no clear counterpart in Plato. There's a recognition in Plato both of being and of subjecthood in the way that we talked about, but not the same clarity of articulation as we encounter in the categories and the metaphysics. Being, when it is differentiated in terms of reality and appearance, and not in the way that Aristotle differentiates it in terms of substance, quantity, quality, and those things we talked about in the categories. Well, these are large differences in thematic interest, and I invite you, if you go back and read Plato and Aristotle, to keep them in mind and to recognize the fact that we're talking, after all, here about a philosophical tradition in which people were talking with one another, expressing different kinds of interests, having different kinds of views on things. There's also, in addition to that, the difference that's required by, as it were, different styles, both different writing styles and different styles of thinking. One feels in Plato a kind of commitment to the mystery, to leaving unsaid that which cannot be said. In Aristotle, it's, as it were, faute mieux, that is, second best. Aristotle is trying as hard as possible to say everything as clearly as he can, whereas it does feel that Plato is presenting you with something that presents a kind of mystery and that he's willing to leave always slightly shrouded in mystery. What there isn't, I think, though, what there isn't between Plato and Aristotle is what's often made out to be the case, a contrast between a this-worldliness on the part of Aristotle and an otherworldliness on the part of Plato. Aristotle wants to, it's true, locate the being in the complex of subject and predicate in a way that Plato is content to think of things as standing in relation to their being. And Plato is, as I said, more interested in being and its appearance. And that's led some people to think that there's a kind of otherworldly view in Plato that's not in Aristotle. We all feel that there's something right about Raphael's great painting in the Vatican, the painting called School of Athens, in which Aristotle is pointing down to the earth while Plato finger is pointing up to the sky. But these are differences that are really subtle differences of disposition. It's not as though they're really polar opposites.